Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This week on the program, Bill Federer will encourage us to speak up and speak out against the evil all around us. And today, we begin a brand new series with staff evangelist Josh Davis, looking at how our world is moving toward a one-world system, and how you and I can be prepared to rise against the one-world mind. As we begin today, we want to say thank you to everyone who attended our first-ever Mysteries of the Bible Verse event this past weekend. Great crowd, great speakers, and a really great time from everyone there. Be sure and check out the events page of our website to see when our next event will take place. Up next, Prophecy in the News Live will be at Hillspring Church in New Prague, Minnesota, August 16th and 17th. Registration is open. We hope to see you there. How are we moving toward a one-world government? How could technology aid the Antichrist's efforts to control the world? Josh Davis is here to answer those questions with today's new series, Rise of the One World Mind.
Over the next couple of days, I'm going to be sharing some teaching based on my book, Rise of the One World Mind. And the goal behind this book is a twofold purpose. Number one, to open people's eyes to the reality of what's happening in our world today. How are we moving towards the end time biblical scenario in our world today, the push for globalism? As described in Revelation chapter 13, we're going to see a one world system of government, a one world economy, a one world system of worship, or a one world religion during the time of the Antichrist and during that period known as the Great Tribulation. So, how is our world moving that way today? That's really the emphasis behind part of the book. Now, the second part of the book offers some biblical solutions. What do we do in light of that? First and foremost, it's about fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, goal number one for the book is to open people's eyes. Goal number two is to call us to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I want to accomplish goal number one in part by sharing you just a taste, if you will, out of my book, Rise of the One World Mind, about how we see the stage being set for a one-world system of government in our world today. And so I'm going to share some teaching based off of a section I have in the book inside of my chapter on the rise of the one-world government mindset. And I'm excited to be able to bring this to you. If you'd like to pick up a copy of the book, you can go to swrc.com and just look for Rise of the One World Mind. You can also go to riseoftheoneworldmind.com to find a landing page for this particular book. And you can call us at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144 to pick up a copy of the book. Now, today, I want to share with you some information about the border security, digital IDs, and healthcare, digital healthcare, the kinds of things that we see happening. Now, in a book like mine, if you're going to share news stories, it's going to have a very short shelf life. And I didn't want that to happen. That's why I use some news stories and some things that are developing just to emphasize the direction that we are moving. And I tried to keep it as evergreen as possible so that it could be picked up 5 years from now and read and understood, and people could see, man, look at how we've moved over these last few years. Look at how things are developing. I shied away from sharing too much news and hopefully just gave a flavor of the kinds of things that we need to open our eyes to and be aware of. Now, if you're on our mailing list and you receive our Prophetic Observer, if you're on our email list and you get our emails, oftentimes in and through those channels and here on the radio program, various other channels will be sharing information along these lines to update you on specific news items that you need to be aware of. And we're going to lean into that more and more and more. It's almost daily something that's coming out. And so we'll be unveiling and leaning into that more and more and more as time marches on. So today I want to discuss with you some of these things about border security and digital ID. And so how can digital IDs help to solve the border security crisis that the world is facing today? Imagine that everybody in the world had a digital ID that was linked with their biometric data, like facial recognition software, a fingerprint scan, something like that. It would be a whole lot easier for nations to track who's entering their country, how long they've been in the country, are they overstaying their welcome, what kinds of things are happening. And so if the police arrested somebody who's not carrying any identification, they could simply take a picture of the suspect, identify him in a centralized database, but a body camera could serve the same purpose. You could even take it a step further and see how facial recognition cameras and technology mounted throughout streets could search for criminals. And I know for some people, you're rolling your eyes, oh, here he goes, this is wild speculation, this is never going to happen, but that's where you're wrong. I've shared stories with you here on the radio in different segments over recent weeks and months about how we see these things developing. I've been writing articles showing you how we're moving in this direction. At our Prophecy in the News live events, in my One World update, I'm sharing these kinds of things with people to open their eyes. We are moving this way. I recently shared a story with you out of Lakeland, Florida, how that there was these three trespassers that kept breaking the law, and they wanted to catch them. They wanted to watch them, surveil them, if you will. And so they put them on this watch list, and they uploaded their facial recognition, and then they put up about a dozen different facial recognition cameras across the city, especially pointed in certain areas where crimes had taken place, farmers markets, certain stores, different things like that. And so anytime one of these three trespassers comes in the view of one of those cameras, it sends an alert to the city and different officers in the city government, as well as the police department. So they can say, oh, you know, John Smith, he's right here, right now. Now he's moved over here in view of this camera. Now he's moved over here in view of that camera. If he does anything, if anybody calls 911, they know exactly where to go, exactly where they can find him at that particular time. If he starts to run, they can say, now he's on camera 10, now he's on camera 2, now he's on camera 6, and they can go to those different places. This is crazy what's happening, but it's being offered as the solution to this growing problem. When you talk about immigration, you talk about the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, they're talking about with Congress passing laws that would give them this same kind of leverage to use this technology in similar kinds of ways to detect smugglers, to detect criminals who may be coming across our border or who may be trying to board an airline flight. And the whole name of the game here is control. What if the control of these things falls into the wrong hands? That's the question we've got to be asking. And so in my book, Rise of the One World Mind, I'm simply asking these kinds of questions that we need to be asking ourselves. Yes, there are some wonderful advantages to using this technology. I can see some positives for the police and for others having this kind of technology. It could help to protect families. It could stop terrorist attacks. It could help them find missing children. But we've got to consider its usage from all the different angles. As each nation is inching closer and closer and closer to digital IDs, we're going to hear more and more and more about the need for a single worldwide database of all people. We're going to continue to hear from many of these promises: safety, security, greater freedom, ease of access, go from country to country as you see fit. Another thing that I alerted you to here on the radio was the EES coming up in the European Union, the entry and exit system that's built off of much the same principles that we've been discussing right here. And so the whole point that I'm making is that globalist government leaders are going to continue to allow immigrants to illegally enter their countries so that they can offer their best quote-unquote solution. It's going to be a borderless world with a digital ID for all people. So biometric data like facial recognition could easily allow people to move about a world with open borders. Oh, this is just more wild speculation, you're probably thinking. Friends, it's happening right now. And I've discussed this even more in the book, but biometric data is rapidly becoming the way that we pay, enter, and identify ourselves. You see, the facial recognition technology, the palm scanning technology, is not just about payments. It's about gaining access to certain places. It's verifying your identity in certain places. This is going to just go all over the place. It's going to spread like wildfire, and we see the push. And I was reading a recent story where some U.S. lawmakers were pushing DHS to pick up the pace, saying, you're going too slow with this, because they were targeting 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road, what they could develop over the next 20 years, the next 30 years. And they said, no, U.S. lawmakers are saying, pick up the pace, do this faster. Why are you talking about 20 years from now, 30 years from now? The technology is here. We need to be developing this as fast as we possibly can. Again, the name of the game is control, and we've got to learn to ask these important questions. I'm discussing my book, Rise of the One World Mind, just giving you a taste of the kinds of things that we see and what we need to open our eyes to. So if you'd like to pick up a copy of the book, you can go to swrc.com. We also have a landing page set up for the book, riseoftheoneworldmind.com. You can call us at 1-800-652-1144, and we'll be happy to give you some more information. Well, you know, this is happening in ballparks. Ticketing is changing over to biometric ticketing. Now, it's optional. It's not mandatory, but we certainly see it moving this way. NFL stadiums, NBA arenas, baseball stadiums are all adapting this as an option to season ticket holders, to people who want that option. And, you know, we get sucked in by the, shiny, new, cool stuff vibes. And we think, man, I got to have this. This is awesome. There are some drawbacks to using this technology. I'm not anti-technology. I've said that 100 times here on Watchmen on the Wall, because we use so much technology for good and to get out the good news of Jesus Christ. But we have to learn to ask ourselves these important questions before just grabbing it and saying, yes, I want that. I've got to have that. Sign me up for it today. So this is an interesting story, and you may have heard this. It happened last year. Facial recognition aided an act of revenge against some 90 law firms that were pursuing litigation against the company that operates the Madison Square Garden in New York City. That's the home of the New York Knicks. That's the home of the New York Rangers hockey teams. James Dolan is the CEO of Madison Square Garden. He owns both those professional sports teams, the New York Knicks basketball teams and the New York Rangers hockey teams. And he banned certain lawmakers who work for these 90 firms that are pursuing litigation against Madison Square Garden, against himself, whatever the case may have been. But they used facial recognition technology to block these sports fans from attending games in Madison Square Garden. They had bought tickets. Now, that's the thing that stood out to me. It wasn't that they were trying to sneak in, but they had purchased tickets with their own money. They were denied entry based on this personal vendetta by Dolan and his staff. And now, of course, these lawyers are going to turn around and sue, and litigation goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But this helps to open our eyes to the kinds of things that could be happening. What happens when somebody's flagged by a biometric system based on the decision of some of the global elites? Access to places, access to finances could be cut off or could be limited, could be controlled. There's that word again. And we see this happening, and we see the stage being set as we go on. And there's so much more that I could share with you. I promised that I would share a little bit about global healthcare, so I want to turn our attention there with the time that I have remaining today. Now, I encourage you, join me again on tomorrow's program, and Lord willing, the next day. I want to sort of shift our focus from opening our eyes to the kinds of things that are happening in our world today to explaining some of the solutions. You see, that's a twofold purpose of this book, Rise of the One World Mind. Number one is to open people's eyes to how the stage is being set in our world today as we approach the biblical end time scenario. But secondly, and I feel most importantly, is to offer solutions, how we can thrive under the threat of globalism. I'm convinced God doesn't want us just to survive this, but He wants us to thrive in it and through it. And I want to share with you some more solutions on the next couple of days' programs. And we're going to look at some scriptures that provide those biblical solutions to the kinds of issues that we are seeing in our world today. But let's continue to open our eyes and to understand the kinds of things that are happening with healthcare. Now, in recent weeks even, we saw that the World Health Organization was pushing for more and more control. And they're using language like cooperation. They're using language like agreements and that we come together as one. But the scary thing about all this is that these unelected bureaucrats at the World Health Organization, which is just the healthcare arm of the United Nations, they could control our future access to any kind of pandemics. And they have all kinds of language that has spelled out. President Biden, over the last couple of years now, has described how that the U.S. can cooperate. That's the word they've been using, cooperate, agreement, this kind of nonchalant way of speaking about these things, that it's just cooperation, it's just agreement. We've got to pay attention to these kinds of words because they're going to give over our freedoms. I wrote this in a recent article. It's like taking a cup of water out of a swimming pool, one cup at a time, one cup at a time. You don't really notice that the water level is sinking until it's too late, until you get to a point of no return, until you're like, where did all that water go? They're removing freedoms one cup at a time. These unelected bureaucrats at the World Health Organization, if our elected officials just say, here you go, here's the keys to any future pandemic decision making, you can decide in the United States of America is in agreement with you, a legally binding agreement, and you can tell us what to do, and you can come and take the resources that you want to take and distribute it any way that you see fit to distribute it. These are the kinds of things that we see happening. And the World Health Organization is rapidly moving everything into a digital database. There are some advantages to that. You know, if you're in Africa, if you're in Europe and you're injured, you're hurt, or some health scare happens to you, a doctor could pull up your personal profile and help you and figure out what's going on with you. And they see your medical history right there. It's in a digital database that's accessible anywhere in the world. There are some particular advantages to that. But what if there comes mandates and there comes, you've got to do this. You've got to take this medication. You've got to have this particular jab or whatever the case may be. And if they make those kinds of decisions and you don't get on board with it, where are you going to run to? You know, where are you going to turn? Where are you going to go to hide away from those kinds of things? You're not going to have access to healthcare if these kinds of things progress the way that they are. And we understand that in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, when it talks about the one world system of government, it's not just talking about a world ruler. We're talking about world governance over every aspect of people's lives, over their money, over their freedoms, over their health care, over their utilities, over their taxes, over their work life. It's literally going to control every aspect of people's lives when the Antichrist takes control of these kinds of systems. And so that's what I'm sharing with you today, how the world is moving in that direction. I don't share these things to bring you fear because I believe that the Bible tells us over and over and over again that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And over and over and over again, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. And it tells us what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee, Psalm 56, verse 3. And we are reminded again, do not be afraid. That's not my heart behind sharing these kinds of things with you today. It's simply this: to get our heads out of the proverbial sand, to open our eyes to the kinds of things we see happening in the world around us today, but ultimately to cause us to look up to the Lord Jesus Christ and to remember that His plan is being accomplished, His will is being done. You see, God isn't disturbed by what we see happening. It is moving according to His perfect prophetic timeline, to His perfect prophetic plan for the ages. Nothing is going to stop it. Nothing is going to slow it down. Nothing is going to thwart the plans and the purposes and the prophecies of Almighty God. You can take it to the bank. God is the one in control. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things, as we say here at Southwest Radio Ministries, and you better believe that that's true right now, today, and we understand that God is accomplishing His plan in the world. So while evil people and people with globalist agendas are trying to manipulate the system to seize control of these kinds of things, and the Antichrist will eventually be successful in that when that time comes, we know that greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world, and that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. If you know Jesus, friend, you are on the winning side, and I praise God for that.
We'll have part two of this series with Josh Davis coming up on our next program. This series is based on Josh Davis's new book, Rise of the One World Mind. Unmasking the agendas at work in our world seems intimidating. Fear threatens us into silent submission. Guilt tricks our emotions to get on board with the global agenda. However, we do not need to be scared or intimidated. More than merely listing the problems with the one world mind, this book seeks to offer solutions. This is not the time to go into hiding. Rather, this is the time to stand boldly upon God's truth. Some of the solutions offered in Rise of the One World Mind include understanding how the one world mindset is rising, discovering God's blueprint for conquering the mindset in your personal life, to be ready for eternity, to be equipped for this battle, to stand strong as a faithful watchman on the wall, and ultimately, to fix your focus on Jesus. Rise of the One World Mind by Josh Davis. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. Be equipped and encouraged with Rise of the One World Mind. Order today when you call 1-800-652-1144. Our host, Pastor Larry Spargimino, comes now with an important update on the work taking place for the Lord in the country of Pakistan.
This is Pastor Larry. Pastor Victor Samuel is on the phone with me. He is, of course, the CEO of Grace Charity School in Pakistan. The school is unable to meet its financial obligations. The situation is critical. Our economy in America is in terrible shape. Discretionary spending on charities is very limited because of conditions in America. And of course, this is an election year, a very, very important election coming up. The school does not have air conditioning at present. Several other essentials will be cut off very shortly. Hello, Pastor Victor. So nice to be with you.
Hello, Pastor Larry. How are you? I'm doing good, and it's so nice to be with you as well.
Well, Pastor Victor, tell us what will happen to these children, 400 or more children, boys and girls. What will happen to them without Grace Charity School? What will the closing of this wonderful ministry really mean for them?
Well, hello, everyone. God bless you. That's a very thoughtful question, Pastor Larry. The children of bricklayers workers in Pakistan often face the significant challenges in accessing education. If two schools close, it could further exacerbate the issue. Many of these children are forced to work alongside their parents in the bricklayers, exposing them to hazardous conditions and limiting their opportunities for education and social mobility. And if schools close, it could lead to, number one, increased child labor. Without access to education, so more children might be forced to work in the brick lane to support their families. Number two, loss of educational progress. Closing schools would disrupt the educational journey of these children. Number three, limited future opportunities. Without education, these children may struggle to break the cycle of poverty. But the child labor is very worse since old work alongside their parents in brick lanes, often for 12 hours a day in hazardous conditions. We will be, I don't know what else to say, but these children will have no future at all. Brothers and sisters, we appeal you, we request you. This is really, I can't control my emotions right now. I have been not sleeping well. I am really very sick because of just thinking of this, that we won't have the schools for these children. Right now, the temperature gets very high in Pakistan in the daytime. Just imagine, we don't have the electricity. They cut off our electricity at schools. And today, it was very harsh. It was very hard to see the children sitting outside of the classrooms because we don't have light and we don't have the fans. The air conditioning is far, far away from our school. We just had the fans always, but now we even don't have that. And there is no wind blowing at all, even outside. There is a humidity. You can just imagine how hard it is for any child.
Yes, well, thank you so much.
I just request.
Yes, I think you've explained the need. It's such a sad matter to close down such a wonderful and essential ministry. I think we've been in operation probably 12, 13, 14 years. So friends, if you can help us, and I am speaking from the bottom of my heart, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. 1-800-652-1144. And if all you can do for us is pray for us, we would love that as well. Pastor Victor, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much too, Brother Larry.
Will we succumb to the one-world mind or stand out as a beacon of light in the darkness? Be equipped, ready for battle, and encouraged with Josh Davis's new book, Rise of the One-World Mind. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. Rise of the One World Mind. Tomorrow, Josh Davis continues his look inside the Rise of the One World Mind. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com. We'll be right back.